Well, we're carrying on in a series that I'm excited to carry on with you. We've been talking for the last 3 weeks, and now this is the fourth week about not just being a full church, but about being a full-strength church. What would it look like to not just sort of fill the place up and get people in here who are enjoying, you know, being part of a service on Sunday, but being a part of community, being a part of caring for this city, being a part of making a difference in people's lives, being a part of sharing the message of Jesus and having people come to know him. What would it look like to be not just full, but full-strength as a church? And so that's what we've been talking about. By the way, if you're new here, my name is Evan, and I'm the lead pastor at this church. Just realized we probably have some guests here for Thanksgiving, and I'm glad that you made church part of your day. But anyways, we're talking about being a full-strength church. So week one, we talked about small groups. That we want every person to be a part of small groups, that when we'll be at full strength when we're not only here, but we're also in relationships, where everyone feels like they know someone, but they're also known by someone. Everyone feels like if they don't show up, they'll be missed because someone is looking for them. Someone cares about them. Someone wishes that they were there. We want you to be part of relationship and part of small group for that very purpose. And then in week two, we said, we will be at full strength when we stop complaining. Amen? A few of us. The first service, I had someone come up to me before I had even started preaching. It was before the service had started. He said, "Hey, great message today." I said, "Well, I haven't even preached it yet." He goes, "Yeah, but I'm not going to complain about it when you do." So great message. It was awesome. I said, "I kind of like that guy." It was awesome. You don't have to fully be like that, just so you know. I am going to preach bad messages sometimes, but it's about us encouraging, uplifting, us giving life rather than taking life by complaining about things and gossiping about things. So week two, we said, hey, we'll be at full strength when we stop complaining. And week three, we said just last week, we'll be at full strength when we pray. When everyone decides that they're going to pray, when everyone decides they're going to commit to seeking Jesus and calling on his name and just turning to him and asking him to do what we can't do for ourselves. And so that's the 3 weeks we've been through. Now we're in our fourth. And the fourth week is we will be at full strength when everyone is taking next steps in their faith. When everyone's taking next steps. Has anyone ever seen a baby take its first step? Probably a lot of you have seen a baby take its first step. I've seen several babies take their first step, mine primarily. But the first step with a baby is one of the most highly anticipated moments when you have a baby, isn't it? Where this baby is growing up, this baby is developing, this baby is becoming something. And as that baby is growing, everyone's waiting. When will it take that first step? When will it do that first little step? And then away it goes. When will it happen? When will we see the baby start to walk? And so I see parents all the time get really pumped about something that doesn't really actually look like a first step. You know what I mean? The baby kind of lifts its foot and then just falls to its face. And they think, the foot hit the ground before the face. That was a step. That was a step, for sure. Touchdown. It made it. We can count it. Let's write it down. Let's write on Facebook. Let's tell all of our friends. Our baby is basically walking. You'll see pictures of like the next Olympian. And the baby's got bruises all over its head because it's fallen all over the ground. Like, doesn't look like an Olympian, except maybe for boxing in Olympics. But anyway, baby, we all get really excited, and for weeks, the baby is kind of doing one of these, and will I step? Should I step? I don't know. Or the crawl. My babies all did this crawl. Like, they'd shift forward on all fours like this, and then they all spilled like this. Their arms just go behind them, bong. Like, they're so close. Like, we're almost there to that first step. I can't wait. But we sort of stop celebrating the first step eventually, don't we? We stop saying, "Oh, look at you, you stepped." You know, it's not very often that I get celebrated for taking my first step of the day. Except my wife knows I'm going to the coffee machine, so she usually celebrates that. But when I get out of bed, it's not very often where I take my first step and Kendall goes, "Oh, look at you go, Ev. You just did a step. Facebook, my husband just took the first step of the day. I cannot believe it. Next Olympian, you know, whatever we might say. I never get celebrated for taking my first step. Why not? Because we celebrate next steps. I've been celebrated for next steps. Now, no one's thinking that when I get up and take a step, like though we thank God for that, thank God that we have breath in our lungs and we can take a step. Though that's an amazing thing to do each day, we all sort of think that if we've learned how to take one step, we're probably going to take some next steps. And that's the next thing to look forward to. When a baby takes a first step, we celebrate it, but then we say, I can't wait until that baby now walks. And watch, once that baby walks, that baby will learn to run. And once that baby runs, that baby will learn to jump off everything and break everything in our house. Maybe you don't see it that way, but anyways, it's what happens. It's reality. But you're looking forward to the next step now. Wow, they've accomplished that one. What's next? Where are they going to get to? What's going to happen beyond this? What's going to take place once that first step is all done? Where are they going to get to? And spiritually, I want to tell you that I want to see a church that celebrates like crazy when someone makes their first step of faith, when someone takes their first step in relationship with Jesus. When someone first decides, I want to do this, I want to give my life to Jesus and follow him, or I want to show up to church, or I'm going to do whatever it is, when they take that first step, we want to celebrate that. Well, sometimes spiritually what we do is we say, once you've taken your first step, you're done. Okay, good. Now you're going to heaven. It's all going to be good. All of your sins are forgiven. We're done. Oh, we forget to celebrate the next steps. We forget to believe there are next steps. We forget to plan for next steps. Where can we go beyond that first step? After that first step, what's next? I want to be a church that doesn't just celebrate when someone comes to Jesus for the first time. I want to be a church where we all celebrate when someone decides to give up an addiction. When someone decides to give up a habit that they've been walking through, when someone decides that they're going to start fighting for this and get recovery for themselves, I want to be a part of a church that celebrates that. I've been part of churches, I've been part of people's lives where the first step people take spiritually is also their last. They take that first step of salvation. Yes, I'll give my life to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And then a couple months later, you know, the follow-up comes like, how's that going? Well, I decided it wasn't that big of a deal after all, and I'm not really sure where I stand now, and I'm trying to figure that all out. I feel like taking next steps is what keeps our faith moving forward. We can't move forward by taking a step in our past. We move forward by taking a step right now. What's your next step of faith? Where are you going from here? Where do you develop from this place? What goes on past this first step? What happens beyond this moment right now? This is the heart of this church. This is the heart of this message. I want you not just to take first steps with Jesus. I want you to take your next steps in relationship with Jesus and walk with him and care about yourself, care for him, and allow him to shape you. Beyond just now, beyond just the past. I don't want your first step of faith to also be your last step of faith. In fact, I think probably the most spiritually impacting thing you can do in your life is not the steps you've taken in the past, but the steps you're taking in the future. Your future spiritual life, your future relationship with Jesus is going to be more impacted not by your first step, but by your next step. And where you go from here, what you do from here. Just because you've taken one doesn't mean your growth is done. Amen? Just because you've taken one step doesn't mean your growth is all done. If my babies just took one step and that's where they stood for the rest of their life, they'd sort of have a cool dance pose, but that's all they'd do. They would never have moved and walked and grown. And I would think there's something wrong developmentally. Why can't they take that next step? Why are they stuck on just one step? But spiritually, we never ask that question. Almost never ask that question. Hey, I took the step. I'm good. Now what? What's the next step? Where are you going from here? So I want to celebrate, not just when people give their lives to Jesus. I want to celebrate when they decide to give up addiction. I want to celebrate when they decide to restore their marriage. I want to celebrate when they decide to give up their pursuit of money so that they can care for their family or invest in our community. I want to celebrate when people decide to join a small group, maybe. When they decide that they're going to be generous with their money and not make it all about themselves. I'm going to celebrate when they decide to get baptized. That's a next step for some people today. For some people here, that's a big next step where they say, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus, but now I'm doing this hard thing. You know, I gave my life to Jesus in my room and I prayed or quietly in the church and I prayed. But this is the next step sometimes to move that faith forward, to see what's next, to push forward a little bit and keep pushing forward, setting the tone for your spiritual life to grow and to develop and take next steps in your faith. God seems to set it up this way for us way back in Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And God, at that time, Israel was about to come out of slavery. Israel was sort of God's people, and they were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. They're about to come out of that, but they're still in it. And God calls a guy named Moses and says, Moses, here's what I want to do for you. Here's what I want to do for the people of Israel. And because that was God's heart then, I believe it's God's heart for us now. God at that point was talking more about physical realities, but those had a spiritual reality connected to them that are still just as real today, even though the physical is a little bit different. And here's what he says in Exodus 6, 6 to 7. He says, therefore, talking to Moses, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. The first thing that God talked to Moses about was salvation. First step that I want to take with you, Moses, is I want to get Israel out of Egypt. You've been enslaved there for a long time. You've been calling out to me for a long time. You've been asking for me to save you for a long time. I'm ready for that rescue mission to take place. I'm ready to come and do it. And so salvation was going to happen just like that. Boom, we're out. If you know the story, there's some miraculous plagues that happen, and then there's miraculous splitting of the sea, and out they go. The salvation takes place. The rescue mission is over. Boom, boom, boom. Away they are. The Egyptians are wiped out in the Red Sea, and they're saved. That's what happens. But there they are in this wilderness, and if they never took a next step, then really, what were they saved to? They weren't saved to go anywhere. They were just sort of sitting there. They were just in the place of being saved from Egypt, but nothing else had happened yet. Some of us, our faith will sometimes feel that way. Okay, I decided to follow Jesus. You know, I raised my hand, or I said the prayer, or I did that thing. But I'm not sure if that's really. I'm not sure where to go with that. What now? I'm not sure even if how I feel about my past life. And in fact, I'm not sure if what I did then was wrong or not. I don't really know what sin is. And I've got this guilt still from my past life. And even though God said he was going to forgive me, I'm having a hard time feeling that right now. I've got these hurts and I've got this stuff that I can't get over. And so I've been saved, yes, but there's still stuff going on. And God comes and carries on. So first he says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. In other words, I will save you. I will rescue you. But then he says, I will free you from being slaves to them. So what happened for the Israelites is they get saved from Egypt. They come out and they land in the wilderness. And then all of them start, or most of them start saying, really, was Egypt all that bad anyways? Was it all that bad back there? Because it wasn't the worst ever. Egypt's not the best, but it's not the worst. It's certainly better than this. And so they start looking back at their life. They start, was it that bad when I just sort of carried my stuff and was quiet about it and didn't confess anything to anyone and didn't have to have these relationships with people and didn't have to be that honest? Was it that bad when it was like that? And maybe I should just go back to that. And so God says, not only will I save you, I will deliver you. I will free you from them. You can take the Israelite out of Egypt, but it's way harder to take the Egypt out of the Israelite. Same is true for us. We've got pasts, we've got hurts, we've got all sorts of stuff, and some of us have taken that first step of salvation, but we still feel like we're holding on to something from behind. We, as a church, want to see you delivered from that. And sometimes that's automatic and quick, like salvation. But more often we see that that's something that happens through relationship. That's something that happens while you take time with people, where you open up, let them know what you're struggling with. I'm still holding on to this thing. I still act this way. I can't get over this hurt. And we pray for each other. We walk with each other. We care for each other. We want you all to have that in this church. We want you to have people in your life who don't just look at you and say, you're saved, you're done, but say, you're saved. Now what would it look like to continue to grow and continue to see healing and continue to see good things happen in your life? What does baptism look like for you? And then what does small group look like? Like, how can we walk through this together? So first God said, I will save you. Then he says, I will deliver you. His next phrase, he says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will redeem you. This is the next step for us as a church. We've built a lot of our purpose and the way that we do things around this, where we say, people get saved, and then maybe you're in relationship with people and you prayed for regularly. You feel like you're sort of being delivered. You're growing out of some of the stuff that you've been hung up on. You're growing out of some of the past stuff. But still, you find that you're always looking at the past and always looking at the sins that you dealt with, always looking at the stuff that's in your life. And you're not able to look forward. And God says, I don't want to just get you out of here so that you can be out of there. I want to get you out of there so that you can go somewhere. God says, there's this promised land for you that I want to take you to. There's this place I want you to experience. And so for us as a church, what that looks like is I want you to know salvation. I want you to know deliverance as you're walking with people. But I want you to know redemption too. That you would not just walk through your sins, but you'd be able to look forward and say, this is where I'm going. This is what God's called me to. I have value. I have purpose. I'm not here by accident. God wants me to accomplish some things. I fit this church. I'm needed in this church. I have specific purpose in this church. I have life to give. I have an impact that I can make on this community and on this island and in this nation and in this world. I have been given the gifts and the personality and the specific experience to walk things out. I'm redeemed. We want you to know this redemption. We don't want you to come to church and say, oh, don't worry, I've accepted salvation and I'm dealing with my sins. I'm dealing with my problems. I'm dealing with all the stuff. Then you're just staring at all the stuff. I want you to stare at where God's taking you. Not where you've taken yourself in the past, but where God's taking you in the future. I want you to see it and know it and experience it. So first step is salvation. Next, deliverance. Next is redemption. And the final is fulfillment. God says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. We'll do life together then. Not only will you be saved from Egypt, not only will you know being delivered and pulling Egypt out of you, not only will you know what I want to accomplish through you, what I want to do with you, what kind of relationship I'm looking forward to with you, not only will you know those things, but you'll be living them out. See, God wants that for your life. God wants you not only to know the great purposes he has for your life, but to live the great purposes he has for your life. God doesn't want you to know where you might fit in this church. He wants you to live that out and to walk that out in this church. God doesn't want you to know what he could do in the Comox Valley. He wants you to do what he could do in the Comox Valley. He wants you to be a part of it. He doesn't want you just to know what he wants to do in this nation. He wants you in your gifting and your power, freed from sin, freed from guilt, freed from shame, knowing the fullness of life of Jesus Christ, to go and do what is meant to be done in this nation. And God wants you for that. We'll never know if we don't take the next step. See, we exist. We want to be part of not just your first steps in relationship with Jesus Christ, but your next steps. Everyone, when we're at full strength, everyone will be taking next steps with Jesus.